Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For their next game coming up Sunday at Miami against the Dolphins, the forecast calling for 80 to 85 degrees and some sun, a little bit of rain in Miami on Sunday. No practice today for guard John Miller with that oblique muscle strain that he suffered last Sunday. No practice today for cornerback Lafayette Pitts, a special teamer for the Bills who's in concussion protocol. Limited work for quarterback Derek Anderson, tight end Charles Clay, and cornerback Taron Johnson. The Bills' new punter is at practice today. Matt Barr, who used to play for the Dolphins, spent the 2015 and 2016 seasons in Miami. He was named to the Pro Football Writers All-Rookie Team after the 2015 season. Darr added to the roster yesterday, replacing Colton Schmidt, who was released after three games. Dolphins made a roster move today, promoting wide receiver Isaiah Ford to the active roster from their practice squad. He was their seventh-round pick in the draft in 2017. They put Jakeem Grant, another wide receiver, on injured reserve. Grant, one of the top return specialists in the NFL, goes to IR for Miami. Jaguars running back Leonard Fournette has lost the appeal of his one-game suspension. He will miss Sunday's game against the Colts, suspended following his ejection for fighting with Bills defensive end Shaq Lawson last Sunday. Washington claimed linebacker Reuben Foster off waivers from San Francisco yesterday, 3 days after he was arrested on a charge of misdemeanor domestic violence. He was subsequently placed on the commissioner's exempt list, and the NFL continues to monitor that situation. Sabres now winners of 10 in a row. Sabres have matched their franchise record for consecutive wins after last night's 3-2 overtime victory over San Jose. They hit the road today, getting set for a three-game road trip. Starts tomorrow in Tampa, 7:30 faceoff tomorrow. College basketball in Olean tonight. St. Bonaventure is home against Canisius, one of the longtime rivalries in college basketball. The Bonnies hold a 100 wins to 66 advantage in the series. They've won four of the last five. These teams both go into the game with 1-5 records. 7 o'clock tip-off at the Riley Center tonight. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Hour two of One Bills Live. One of our favorite guests joins us on the line right now. He is a longtime NFL quarterback for Oakland, Houston, Indianapolis, and Tampa Bay. 12 NFL seasons. Now a football analyst for ESPN. Happy to have Dan Orlovsky on the line with us. Dan, John Murphy and Steve Tasker in Buffalo. Thank you for joining us.
It's good to be with you guys. How are you?
We're good. We appreciate and value your analysis of quarterback play, especially when it comes to Buffalo's quarterback, Josh Allen. And you've already tweeted it out, some video. You saw some good positive signs from Josh Allen this past Sunday, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I was interested to see because really coming off the injury, but more so, okay, he had a couple of weeks to sit and maybe take a breath, really, after a whirlwind of a year. But also you play and then you sit. You can learn some things a little bit differently and do some self-reflecting and whatnot. And I was really impressed with how he played. People can say what they want about the Jacksonville defense, and it's certainly not what it was last year, but it still has moments of really good football. And, you know, I just liked what I saw from him when it comes to getting to the line and going, okay, what's really the problem with this coverage, or where's the opportunity with this coverage? He was decisive with the football. You know, the first play of the game, they run that bootleg, that kind of naked action, and the receiver runs the wrong route. And instead of, listen, young quarterbacks in those moments, they do crazy stuff. And instead of panicking or throwing the ball or whatnot, he just kind of eats it. And that's the example of, all right, live to see another downer type thing. So that was nice to see. You know, to be honest with you, I only counted one play on tape where it was like a misread. He missed a blitz on third down. The pick that Jalen Ramsey makes that ends up getting called back, he misses a blitz that a guy comes, you know, unblocked on the blitz. That's Josh Allen's responsibility. But other than that, he played really good football in the midst of some guys making mistakes around him as well.
So what's the next step you see for a guy like Josh Allen? Before we get on, I do want to talk to you about the other rookie quarterbacks, but what's the next step that you want to see tangibly on film with Josh Allen?
Yeah, I mean, continue to take those strides, and the challenge is this. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that can play good football for 60 out of 67 snaps. The really good, the starters, the franchise guys, the greats, they go 67 to 67. Now Josh Allen, X amount of games into his career, nine games into a career,
six
or something
starts.
Like that. Maybe, yeah, six starts into it. So he's not going to be that certainly just yet, and probably in 9 and 19, but continue to challenge himself to get there. You know, he made some really good throws. I love some of the balls. Like, touchdown is sick. And so just continue to make progress of, here's the biggest thing for me now that I think about it and I'm sitting here reviewing some notes. Get to number three more. Like, right now he is reliant on his legs, and that's a weapon of his, and they're a talent, no doubt. But there's also sometimes you go, dude, you're not going to survive. I don't care how big you are and how tough you are. The biggest and the baddest dudes, Cam Newton, has not, the hits have worn on him. So that's the thing, is like, sometimes it's okay to take the 2-yard completion rather than the 4-yard run. That'll be the biggest thing. But, and guys, you know, I was somewhat questionable and critical of him coming out and had some issues and whatnot. And I'm sitting here saying, all right, mate, from what I've seen, I was wrong. And so he's been relatively impressive.
You know, one of the things that strikes me, Dan, is the critiques that you have, all valid critiques and observations you make, a lot of that stuff, it seems to me, can be worked out through more playing time, right? As I mentioned to you, he's only got 6 NFL starts. Hopefully he gets, the remainder of them here, 5 more starts for the Bills. But these are all things that seem to be working themselves out through the first 6 starts of his NFL career. I think that's a good sign, isn't it?
No doubt. I mean, really, for me, the two things that were the biggest thing were his eye discipline and then his really, like I continue to mention, when you go to the line of scrimmage, you got to know, like, okay, this is the defense. Where's the problem or where's an opportunity? And those were really difficult things for guys to get better at in incremental or like big jumps, to really make a big jump. I haven't been around guys that have been able to really rectify those issues. Now, what I've seen on tape, Josh Allen has certainly gotten better at it. And so that'll be the challenge, is there a plateau for him, or can he continue to get better at it? And then, obviously, the long-run hope for Bills fans is that he masters it. And certainly, it's something that he's shown to be able to get better at so far.
And one of the things we always talked about, and we did it even earlier today, do you think he ran a little too often? There's some question about, certainly he's not plugged into a high-powered offense that's got talent everywhere all around him, and so he is going to be forced to make some plays with his legs at times. Do you think he's relied on that too much? And certainly, from what you said earlier, maybe you think that's true.
Yeah, he is. There's two plays in the game where he could just take a check down, and here's the thing. You don't ever want to take a guy's stinger away. I mean, that's part of his DNA. It was part of Big Ben's and Steve McNair's back in the day. That's part of their stinger, and that's what makes them great. And so you don't want to pull that back. But it's this massaging of understanding of, listen, you can try and go get that 4-yard run on first down and get your head cracked in, or you can just dump the ball down to that guy, let him wiggle around, and get us a 2-yard completion. It's not that big of a difference, but it is, because you don't take a hit. And so those 3 plays a game that may happen, if you do the math, it's what, 50 hits a season, and you never know which one could be the one that, man, take you out for X amount of time. We've already seen him miss some games. So, yes, he's running too much right now. That will be the part of the process for him, is to understand that and execute it of, okay, when do I really trust those instincts and run, and when do I just kick the ball out to somebody else and understand it's not worth that hit?
We're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky, a dozen years in the league playing quarterback, now football analyst for ESPN. Hey, Dan, I find myself fascinated by the entire class of 2018 first-round quarterbacks. They all have some good moments and some questionable moments, but it's pretty clear that Baker Mayfield was the one who deserved to be the number one pick overall. He had an outstanding game against Cincinnati, didn't he?
Yeah, Baker's played really, really well. The biggest thing for Baker that has stood out really under Hugh Jackson and then not under Hugh Jackson is accuracy in the NFL is the physical trait that will always be the best. And he is very accurate with the football. I call it NFL accuracy, where, you're going to find a lot of guys that can go throw the ball in the vicinity of receiver, and then you're going to find a good amount of guys that can place the ball, out in front or something like that, but there's not a ton that can throw it in a 6-inch by 6-inch box. And Baker looks to be one of those kids. The greatest thing for me right now with Baker is how he's handled absolute chaos. I mean, it's the worst situation you can come into with everything that's happened in that organization. And it's almost like it's not even that he hasn't flinched at it. It's almost like he's thrived off of it. It's like he's relishing the moment. I love what he did post-game with Hugh Jackson personally. I was outspoken saying the Browns are an organization that has been punked for a long time. And finally they have a kid who said, not anymore. I don't care what the decision was, but I knew you disrespected me and my teammates in our organization, and I'm just not going to let you punk me over it. And so I know that's a big talking point, but that city, that football team has been waiting for a guy to have the onion, the gut, the confidence to be able to do something like that and stand up for himself and for his teammates and for his organization, for his city. So I loved it, and he's certainly playing really well. Freddie Kitchens has done a remarkable job of personnel movement and and pre-snap and formations and whatnot to put them in positions to play well.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Dan, I thought the same way you did. I thought it was well done by Baker to kind of say, hey, you know, you didn't have to take that job. You know, you're still getting paid by the Browns. I don't care if they did mm-hmm. fire you. You're talking about the relationships you had in our locker room that you just kicked to the curb. So if you're going to do that, so are we. And I think I thought it was right on point for Baker to say, hey, you know, if you're going to play for them, you're not one of us. And even though, you know, you helped us, you tried to do your best, you weren't good enough. And those relationships go away pretty quickly when guys do that. And I'm with you. I applaud Baker for doing it. For his organization, for his team. Forget about Hugh Jackson.
Yeah. Okay. They've been a laughing stock for two decades. They need someone to have the guts to do something like that. And for him to be able to do that, and it wasn't disrespectful. It was like, nah, man, like, listen, you're not with us anymore, and you chose to do that. I've got nothing for you. So I loved it.
Yeah.
Hey, another quarterback asked about Aaron Rodgers. How much responsibility should he bear, if any, for the Packers' struggles in the recent last couple of weeks here? What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, very little. Well, I mean, just watching the tape, two things that stand out, because we got into this a little bit on Get Up Monday morning. Watching that game against Minnesota Sunday night, the first third down in the game, Minnesota comes up with both of their linebackers in the A-gap standing on top of the center on either side, and then Harrison Smith, the safety, right there as well. So they've got three guys right up there, and Green Bay doesn't do anything with it, and they blow out of there. No one blitzes. They blow out. They play coverage, and no one's open. He throws it away. And in that moment, I was like, okay, well, that's going to be Zimmer's blitz of the day. Let's see what McCarthy counters it with. The next third down, it's the same look, but this time they blitz. Green Bay has no answer. Quick ball, throwaway. And I sent out a tweet saying, at some point, Mike McCarthy's going to figure out that blitz, how to counter it, and they're going to gash Minnesota on it. Minnesota did it three more times on third down that game. Green Bay never did anything to answer it. Never motioned for it, never screened, never nothing. And that is inexcusable in today's NFL. With the technology that we have and the game planning that you can get and the tape, it's inexcusable for you not to be able to adjust on the sidelines like that. And I know there's been narratives like, oh, Aaron Rodgers should do it as well. Aaron Rodgers has got 70,000 things going through his head. It's his coach's job to go, hey, Aaron, they're doing this. This is how we want to attack it. Or, hey, Aaron, this is what we're getting. How do we want to beat this? And so that's my big thing right now is, like, there doesn't seem to be a great understanding of what to do on offense. And here's a stat that, you know, I looked into it because you guys know how big I am on you got to find matchups for your quarterbacks. You got to put players around your quarterbacks right now. Look at all the good offenses. They all got really good players. Green Bay has drafted one impactful offensive guy in 5 years. One, and it's Davante Adams. They have not drafted another impactful offensive guy in the last 5 years. That is unbelievable. And we can say what we want. Oh, great quarterbacks make the players around them better. Yes, but they don't make bums into Hall of Famers. Like, they don't make guys that are just okay into great players, you know? And so
Right. They
just don't have good players around Rodgers because they think, oh, he'll just make everybody so much better. So they failed him as an organization right now.
Wow. One of the quarterback I want to ask you about, the Texans are maybe the hottest franchise in the league. They've won, or one of the hottest. I mean, New Orleans is down there as well. But 8 straight wins for the Houston Texans. And Deshaun Watson, when he got hurt as a rookie last year, they were scoring 30 points a game. They had a top 5 defense. I mean, the Texans had it going on. And certainly it took them a little while to find themselves early in this season. But, man, oh, man, the Texans look really good. How is Deshaun Watson progressing?
Well, two things. Because the first month of the season, the first 3 weeks of the season, they weren't doing anything to allow the ball to get out of Deshaun Watson's hands or have an outlet. And that's why he was getting beat up so much. Now, part of it was because coming off the injury and he was settling in. There's no doubt about it. But their plan was for him to just hold the ball as long as he could. Now, after getting beat up for the first month, Bill O'Brien, and I'll give him credit, he's done a really good job because I was sitting there at a month ago, there's a big issue in Houston. And he's done a nice job of getting some of those, you know, like, they do a great job of, they run two play actions in one play. Like, they'll fix the back and a reverse or a jet sweep or something like that. What does that do? It slows down the pass rush. It also, what they've done with that guy is they're giving Deshaun Watson, that guy is an outlet. So he's the check down. So Deshaun Watson has got more guys getting out in his pass concept without sacrificing protection, because the protection is being benefited from the dual play actions every play. And so that's helped to keep him upright. And then, you know, one of the things is we kind of undervalue Deshaun Watson as a thrower. I mean, he is remarkable throwing the football, but he's so special as a runner. Like, we become consumed with that. Watch some of the accurate throws he makes. They are in keyhole-type windows. And so that's the biggest thing for them offensively that's helped is, you know, they've gotten back to some of the offensive scheme they did last year that you want to call it college offense. I call it creative offense. And that's helped them keep him a lot healthier.
With ESPN's Dan Orlovsky, one more question for you, Dan. A question about a quarterback who's not even in the NFL right now. But you're going to see him Friday night, the MAC championship game. You're calling at Ford Field in Detroit on ESPN. And that's University of Buffalo's Tyree Jackson. What do you think of him as an NFL prospect? And what do you think of this game, UB in Northern Illinois, coming up Friday?
Yeah, so it's funny. We always hear quarterbacks and you go, man, if he was 2 inches taller, he'd be a better prospect.
Right.
If Tyree Jackson was 2 inches smaller, he'd be a better prospect, because the notion of, man, when was the last time a guy over 6'6 was good type thing? He reminds me a lot of Josh Freeman coming out of Kansas State. Like, physically talented, there's no doubt, can make all kinds of crazy throws. He's not the runaround guy that people think he is, but he's a really good athlete, so he can make some plays. He has moments where I go, wow, that is an incredibly accurate throw. Like, he's had some throws on tape where I go, whoa. And then he's had some, you know, like, you don't see a lot of bad decisions from him unless he's out of the pocket trying to hit the home run. Then you go, wait, why did you just throw that ball? There's three DBs around your receiver. But in the pocket, he's pretty efficient and a good decision maker. Drives the football obviously well. Sometimes he falls in love with the deep shot, but there's moments where he can throw the ball. So prospect-wise, I want to see him live, and I certainly should stay for another year. I think they do a really nice job offensively. Obviously, Anthony Johnson, his receiver, is really good. This will be a good game. You know, this is the, you know, I want to say Buffalo's like the third best team in America when it comes to protecting the quarterback.
Okay.
As far as, like, allowing sacks. And Northern Illinois is the best team in America getting sacks. They've got two guys on defense. Sutton Smith is the number one sack guy in America. And then Josh Corcoran, who's the other defensive end, is number 12. So they've got like 21 sacks combined between the two of them. So that'll be like a big thing to see is how does the Buffalo offense handle the Northern Illinois pass rush? But conversely, how does the Northern Illinois pass rush handle the Buffalo offensive line that protects really well? So it should be a really fun game.
Yeah, Friday night, ESPN, you'll be calling the game. Dan, thanks for this. We always learn a lot when you're with us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys' time. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you.
Dan. Be good.
Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, 12 years in the league, 4 different teams, ESPN football analyst, and he will be the analyst on the MAC championship game Friday night. The UB Bulls going up against Northern Illinois Friday night on ESPN. Dan, I'll have the call of that game. I'm going to watch that game, Steve. You'll be preoccupied with hockey, and I'll keep an eye on that as well. But
yeah.
I love that he just set it up as, you know, UB's great pass protection against Northern Illinois' great pass rush.
Yeah,
there you go.
And
there's
I'll
your
tell
matchup
you what, Tyreek Jackson is, I don't know how or when it'll be. I don't know how high he'll get drafted, whether he will get drafted, all of that. But he's going to get a really good opportunity to play quarterback in the National Football League. And he's here in Buffalo. Playing for UB.
What do you think of Dan's assertion? I don't know. I got to think about that he might be too tall at 6'7". I guess, and I started thinking who've been the tallest, you know, successful quarterbacks in the league, and I don't know. I've never heard that before. Maybe you're too tall to play quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah.
Dan obviously is giving
us some
thought.
Listen, I love Dan. He's a great dude. Sometimes I think those guys overthink it a little bit. Man. Come on. But I'll tell you this. I'm shocked that Ben Roethlisberger's not listed at over 6'6".
He's big.
That dude, he's a...
How tall is Cam Newton is 6'6", right?
Yeah. I mean, both those guys. You put their helmet and cleats on them.
Yeah.
They look like 9-foot statues. I mean, they're huge. They're huge. I couldn't stand on my flat-footed and raise my hand up off the ground to the top of their head, it seems like.
Yeah.
They're enormous. That surprises me that.
I just wonder.
I think it's not about how tall they are. It's about what kind of athlete they are. If they're tall and gangly and they can't move real good, and they, yeah. you know. But these guys like Tyreek Jackson and you know all these other guys, they could go, man. They're athletes, so that doesn't bother me so much.
We thank Dan for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. Good stuff on Josh Allen, a couple of other quarterbacks, and on Tyreek Jackson. Hey, Bills practice still going on. When it's over, Wyatt Teller, rookie offensive lineman, will join us here in studio, so stick around for that. And more discussion coming up about the Bills, the Sabres, the Bulls, the UB football Bulls. Who's going to blink first? Who's going to lose next? It's a tough call. It's not a pleasant call to make, but a tough call. We'd like to take your call on it at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
We should have had a fourth option that said nobody.
And we're getting that response, too. Back with more. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. I'm John Murphy. Steve Tasker sitting nearby. Snow and Orchard Park. Bills indoors on the AdForce Sports Training Center practice field. Getting ready for the Dolphins. We've got Wyatt Teller standing by to join us once practice ends. Bills' new offensive lineman started the last couple of games. We'll talk with him about what that's meant for him in his career. Our Twitter poll today. We like this question. Some like it, some don't. That's okay. Our Twitter poll today deals with the win streak. The Sabres, 10 in a row. The Bills have won a couple in a row. UB getting set to play in the MAC championship game. They don't have a streak per se, but big game coming up for them. Will a Buffalo sports team ever lose again? That's our Twitter poll. And if so, who blinks first? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. On Twitter, 51% of you say the Bills lose first. 36% of you say the Sabres blink first. 13% say the UB Bulls. The Bills, more than half of the people think the Bills will be the next team in that group to lose. Why is that, Steve?
I don't know.
Does the 4-7 record have something to do with
maybe,
it?
Maybe. They are playing the Dolphins, who've lost four out of their last five. I think, you know, the Bills are looking better than they are right at this point. Ryan Tannehill got back in the lineup, didn't help. So we'll see. I'm sitting here looking. We mentioned this yesterday, and I wanted to get into it. The AAF quarterback draft was yesterday.
Alliance of American Football, for those who are not into it.
So, you know, and you can go down the list, and there's like a handful of guys maybe you've heard of. Maybe, you know, the hardcore people have heard a lot of them. Of course, Scott Tolsien, Blake Sims, Matt Sims, Aaron Murray, former Georgia quarterback, Matt Linehan, Christian Hackenberg, Zach Mettenberger. You know, there's these guys on this list that, you know, some of us have heard of, Josh Johnson. But here's the thing that gets me, Mervin. This is what got me. We finally get to know what those eight teams are called. And here's it. You're never going to remember these at home unless you're sitting there. You write these down. Okay,
This is the Bill Polian League. We talked to Bill about it 2 weeks ago. The Alliance of American Football, they start play February 9th.
Right after the Super Bowl. And they get finished right before the draft. So you've got teams like the San Diego Fleet, the Birmingham Iron.
Yep. Know some people.
Arizona Hotshots.
Okay.
Orlando Apollos. Atlanta Legends. Salt Lake Stallions. Memphis Express. And the San Antonio Commanders.
You like those?
I don't know. It's kind of cool, though. San Antonio, Birmingham, Arizona, Orlando, Atlanta, Salt Lake, Memphis, and San Antonio. Kind of cool to see those cities. Now, they're all southern cities, most of them, right? I mean, am I right? Salt Lake maybe is a western city.
San Diego?
San Diego's west. But Birmingham, Orlando, Atlanta, Salt Lake, Memphis, and San Antonio. So, yeah, it's going to be a southern kind of league. But those are the teams. We finally get a look at them. Now they even had – it was on – the draft, this quarterback draft was on the CBS Sports Network, and they had – I mean, there was a lot of production value. I mean, they had like a big set, all the stuff. They had all the logos, which was really interesting to see all the logos. And, Hines Ward was announcing the pick. Josh Johnson was the first pick, and he wasn't even picked. He was protected, which meant – they're going to sign him to their team.
Yeah, he went to school down there in San Diego, right. So they got him.
And that's how it's done in the NFL. They quantify these guys in regions where they went to college or where they're from or whatever. And those are, and you see, for those watching MSG, those are the logos of the teams behind him as he walks across the stage, gives Hines Ward a hug, and puts on the jacket. It's pretty interesting to see how this is going to fly, because we've had Bill Polian on the show a couple of times, and he went through this, right? And he said all the issues, all the way back at – you remember the World Football League?
Sure do.
Remember that? And the USFL.
Sure do. Just read a great book about
the NFL Europe and XFL. So this has got four leagues that over the past 50 years have tried to muscle in on the NFL, and some of them have worked, and some of them have been in concert with the NFL in partnership. NFL Europe, for example. This one, with Bill Polian as its czar, has taken into account all the problems that were presented by those other leagues and have tried to work as a partner, not as a partner financially. I don't think the NFL has a stake in this league, but they're trying to work in concert with the schedule of the NFL, what the NFL is looking for in a farm system kind of thing, and a developmental league that will answer all the questions. Plus, CBS Sports Network is going to televise the darn thing, so that's going to make a difference as well. So it may make it.
Oh, I think it will.
Right?
I do.
Even though it's not funded by the NFL,
it's not going to have NFL ratings numbers, but I think it'll be a successful television program, which is kind of what they're looking for here. The league, the Alliance of American Football, they're looking to be a spring league that can feed fan interest once the NFL season is over. They got big-name coaches, too, in the Alliance. Steve Spurrier is coaching the Orlando Apollos. Mike Martz, the former Rams coach, is coaching San Diego. Brad Childress, coaching the Atlanta Legends. Mike Singletary, coaching at Memphis. So they had their quarterback draft yesterday. Yeah, I think this is going to... I don't think it's going to, you know, revolutionize the way we watch football, but I do think it's going to work. You got Bill Polian in charge and Charlie Ebersole, a trusted and longtime TV executive on top. And there are some names here. As you mentioned, Christian Hackenberg drafted last night. Scott Tolzien, Zach Mettenberger. Nobody's going to be impressed by those names as far as NFL prospects. But when they get playing in a league with, you know, their skill set matches what they're up against, I figure they're going to put together some competitive games and probably some pretty good TV shows, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, and they're going to – the game is going to look a little different as well from what we understand. It's going to be – they're going to cram it into like a two-and-a-half-hour window,
yep.
Right? So it's going to be a little bit more abbreviated.
Right? No,
yeah, they're going to take the foot out of the ball a little bit. And, yeah, it'll be interesting even for that, because there's certainly no doubt that they're going to float some trial things in this league, and the NFL is going to look at it and say, maybe we should try that. You know, maybe the fans will like that a little better. It's going to be fun to see and interesting in all those cities, from San Diego all the way down over to San Antonio, Florida, Memphis, Salt Lake, and Birmingham. All those. It's going to be fun to see. But
yep.
They had their quarterback draft, and you can go down, you can go on, find all the list of guys, but. I mean, I don't know who these guys are. From, you know, Philip Nelson, East Carolina. Matt Linehan, I've heard of him. Justin Holman from Central Florida. I mean, there's a list of guys that are pretty interesting, and they're all trying to make it back in the NFL.
Or
make it to the NFL.
Hey, what do you think about the win streaks by Buffalo's sports teams right now? The Bills with a couple of wins in a row. The Sabres with 10 in a row. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Who's going to blink first? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. On the tweet sheet from Buffalo Fan, we've had losing for so long around here. I hate to see any of these Buffalo teams lose. Let's go, Buffalo. I get that. From Thomas Durlack, I don't want either, but my wife is getting sick of me wearing the same clothes for the last month. Superstitious? I don't think so. I think that
I
is kind of superstitious.
You got to do it. Hey, man, if you think it helps, you got to do it.
Yep.
You got to do it. You owe it to your team to, you know, not shave or whatever it is that you've decided that is helping them win.
From Dougie Briggs, his response. I got to tell you, people have time sometimes in Twitter to get colloquial like that. I got to tell you. Last year I felt we did so well because we competed with who we played and did just enough to win. I'm starting to see that right now, and I'm almost 100% sure we can beat an Adam Gase team, so I think the Sabres will lose first. 10 games are nice, though.
Yeah.
That's a long response, Dougie, but I don't know. I agree. I hate to pick any of them to lose, sort of counterintuitive to what fans do. Who do you think is going to lose? But somebody's going to lose out of this group, right? And we just want you to have a little fun with it. Who do you think? Who's going to blink first?
Yeah, Jason Crandall says the Sabres are going to blink first because the Bills are going to win the rest of the games. All in on the Josh Allen QB train. Oh, there you go. And Nick Blake, Sabres will lose first. They play too many games. With that said, Sabres are cup bound this year. Best team in the NHL. Get ready for a championship this year in Belo. Listen, you can drink the Kool-Aid. You can drink two different kinds of Kool-Aid, the hockey Kool-Aid and the football Kool-Aid. That is
double
perfectly
fisted.
Acceptable to drink double-fisted here in Buffalo. We need T-shirts right now. I'm drinking double-fisted on the Bills and the Sabres. I am drinking double-fisted Kool-Aid.
Call here from Ryan.
I'm getting you a T-shirt.
With Ryan that. And Elma on the line. Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Okay.
I am too superstitious to say – either team's going to lose first. You got to just be like, I don't know.
Well, we don't have that category on our Twitter poll.
You can't pick that. You got to pick one. Yeah, that's a good call, though. And you're right. I mean, it's Because there's a lot of people out there think they are, if they don't do this, A, B, or C. And that maybe we're thinking about another Twitter poll here, Murph, about super fans being superstitious. You know, what is the most craziest superstitious thing that you've ever had to do to make sure your team won?
Be interesting.
Well, listen, we got people jumping through flaming tables, so there's going to be some pretty wild.
I mean, that's right? Not for victories. That's
right.
Just for
kicks and giggles.
Yeah,
that's
just
I got you. But prevention. That you know that may we're going to put that on the back burner. We'll start to formulate a Twitter poll with that. But that you get the idea now that when you go to 10 games, because I remember I was thinking, wow, it's been nice for 6 games. You know, it's great. And it's like, oh wow, you almost doubled it. You know.
Yep.
It's getting a little bit looking sideways at each other, like going, wow, how long is this going to go? particularly the way they've been winning,
yeah.
You know,
overtime,
come from behind. They were down 4-1.
Yeah. Well, that's our question. How long is this going to go? Here's Dave in Florida on the line. Dave, go ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys?
Okay.
Listen, I just want to tell you, I got to take Buffalo to stumble this week. I'm down here in Florida.
Buffalo Bills?
Bills or Sabres? Yeah.
The Bills.
Okay.
Down here in Florida, it's cool today. It's a beautiful day. I wish they were playing today. But this weekend is going to be in the high 80s, a lot of humidity and rain.
Dave, let me tell you, I think you're crazy.
I want you to get ready because now Tannehill's back. All you do is bump him a couple times and he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Or we all know about Gore. Take them out, we win. But I'm worried because we lost 20 in a row, remember?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting. The Bills swept them last year, Dolphins. The Dolphins swept the Bills in 2016, and the Bills swept the Dolphins in 2015. It's sweep, sweep, sweep in this series between these two.
That's our Super Bowl when we play Miami.
Yeah, not anymore.
This week. But, yeah, I get you, Dave. But I'll tell you this, Dave, and I said it earlier in the show. When the Bills get off the plane in Miami, you know, they're leaving like a foot of snow. It's 20 degrees outside. It's nasty out. And they get off the plane in Miami, and they soak up that heat pretty good. I think it's a plus, not a minus. Don't think that heat's going to help the Dolphins any. It's going to feel like a day at the beach for the Bills. They're going to soak it up and love it. So they're going to feel really good playing in that weather. That's my take. That's the way it was for the team when I played for them. It was great hopping off that plane and having to carry your top coat over your arm instead of putting it on.
Here's a call from Matt in West Seneca. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just want to say I think the Sabres will probably blink first. I think they got 2 games before Sunday, right?
Yep.
You know, in regards to the Bills, a lot of season left, 4-7. A lot of season. You never know what could happen. And, Steve, you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame in my book. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, there's another vote up to 82 Hall of Fame votes for Steve Tasker here. We're going to compile all the Hall of Fame votes, put them in a bag, and personally deliver them to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and see where that does. No, I mean that's pretty. That's people believe that. Why don't
82 people? Yeah, no, no. I appreciate it, but no. He's right. The Sabres, that's why the Sabres are playing so good now. Listen, it's not like the Sabres are all of a sudden they were a middle of the pack team. You know, they're 10 games in, they're a middle of the pack. Like they were, if they put together a 10 game streak last season, they'd have, you know, gotten them into the hunt. Listen, they're the best team in the NHL. They are playing, they have won more games, got more points than anybody in the NHL. You can't expect a team to think that Buffalo is going to be a win because we usually beat them. This is not that team. This is a team that's got to expect like they're going to win. They're going to win in Florida. They're going to win in Tampa Bay. They're going to win in Nashville on Monday. Now it's a team that you think, all right, who's going to beat us? So it's a little different than a Bills team at 4-7 who's going to go down to Miami on the road. They've got their young rookie quarterback they're going to try and play. And, you know, it's kind of been a struggle at times this year. Now, they have shown some things. They got a really good, salty defense to play. But they're going to have to play well to beat the Dolphins. The Sabres, on the other hand, now they've got 2 games to play, but they just need to play like they play. And
what,
they'll be all right.
Wait till overtime?
Right. That's why it's a coin flip, you know. You think, wow, you know, they've got to win twice. Bills got to win once. And Bills and both those games, both the games for the Sabres and the Bills, they're all on the road. They're all down in Florida. It's a really good question.
Thanks.
It's a really good question. I'm kind of weighing in on the layers of the onion here because there's a lot of ways these are similar and different. You know, we were saying the math is, if you haven't done it already, a 10-game streak for the Buffalo Sabres equals a 2-game streak for the Buffalo Bills in relative size of the schedule.
Well, yeah, the chunk of season it represents.
Right.
Yeah.
10 games out of 80 and 2 games out of 16. It's the, almost the exact same percentage. So, well, it's 82 games. So it's a virtually identical percentage of wins. And the Bills are sitting on a 2-game win streak and actually with a bye sprinkled in there. And the Sabres are at 10 games.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
A break here. We're back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.